Welcome to Paranormal Heart, a place where people can talk about their paranormal experiences. With your host, Kat Ward.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for joining me once again. This is episode 3 already, and I'm really, really excited. So please help me welcome my next guest, Lisa. Hey Lisa.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. Good, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. So I understand you have some paranormal experiences that you'd like to share with us.
Sure, yeah, I would. Let me see, I'm just trying to think of a logical place to start. I guess I lived in a house that was from the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. The village that we lived in was one of the last places that did hangings in Canada. And the hangings were done almost in the backyard of my house or very close to it.
Wow.
I used to be laying in bed at night sometimes and I would hear what sounded like 1940s type of music.
Yeah.
From somewhere in the house. It sounded like it was maybe coming from the third floor. I wasn't really sure. And I did some research on the house just to figure out exactly what the house was. And it had originally been a telephone operating center. But then it switched over and it was a saloon on the main floor with a rooming house upstairs.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure some of the music I was hearing is probably from the period of when it was a saloon. Some of my experiences in the house is I would be sitting in a room and I would see a shadow kind of by the corner of my eye walk by a door and I was alone, home alone.
Mm-hmm.
There was going from the stairs from the first floor to the second floor. I don't know why, but every time I went up those stairs, I always felt like there was somebody behind me on the stairs, and I was constantly looking over my shoulder.
Yep.
On the stairs to see if there was anybody behind me. And my son, when he was little, used to say that he was scared to go to sleep in the dark in his room because he saw a bear at the bottom of his bed.
A bear?
And it was only years later, and I kept telling him, you're on the second floor, 20 feet in the air. There's no bear coming in the window or at the bottom of your bed. So it was only years later that I started to think about it and maybe thinking, was he seeing dark shadows at the foot of his bed?
Probably.
Maybe there was something there, you know, in his house, in the house that, you know, young children have a tendency to see more than we do, I guess. So, you know, I kind of figured maybe that's what he was seeing was some sort of a dark shadow at the foot of his bed.
Yeah. How old was he at the time?
He would have been probably 7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he seem like he was really afraid about that?
He really was.
Yeah.
He was genuinely afraid to go to sleep in the dark.
Who wouldn't at that age?
To the point where I hung Christmas lights around his room just to kind of give him some light.
Well, that's a good idea.
To go to sleep. So it would keep the shadow away, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, thinking back now, I didn't put it together at the time, but I guess putting together my experiences in the house and stuff over the years, I guess that's the conclusion that I've kind of come to on that area.
Hmm.
I guess another incident was after my dad died. I do believe that my dad had been around a little bit after he died. I had taken his death very hard, and I had an angel that sat by the front door on a shelf.
Hmm.
And as I was the angel, I always had facing out towards the kitchen. And as I was sitting on the couch watching TV, every few days I would look over and the angel would be sitting facing me.
No way.
And I turn her back to the kitchen. And a few days later, she'd be turned facing me. And it would be like probably a 45-degree angle, I'd say, to go from the kitchen to me.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't using the front door at all that winter. We actually had it blocked off. So it wasn't a vibration from the door or the wall or anything of, you know, the door being open and closed. So it really made no logical sense as to how it turned and had been moved. But this went on for probably about a year after Dad died that I would see the angel kind of turned and facing me.
Wow.
And I think it was kind of my dad's way of saying that, you know, he was around and he was keeping an eye on us.
Yeah. Do you still have that angel?
I do.
Yeah. Do you still have it on the shelf?
I do, but she doesn't turn anymore.
Yeah.
I think wanted us to know he was okay.
Nice.
And I guess I actually, the only real thing that I would say is after my grandmother died, I did see her. I saw her appear at the foot of my bed one night. And I would have been in my early 20s, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
23, I think, when she died. And she actually came to me one night and was at the foot of my bed. And then that was the one and only time that I'd seen her after she died, and that was only just a couple of days after she had died.
Was that in the same house that
No, it was a different house altogether.
Hmm.
It was quite a few years before I moved into this house that I actually believe did have spirits in it.
Which house? The one you're in now, or the three-story one?
The three-story one, yeah.
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 Hmm.
And the one I'm in now is the one where my dad has left me messages. So I guess it's kind of been around my life, all my life, I guess.
In
some form, I guess. Being open and, I guess, believing in it has helped for sure.
What kind of messages has he left you, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I had the angel move.
Mm-hmm.
I have... one day, just a couple of months after he died, I was coming home from work and I was having a bad day missing him and I was crying and I had my iPod plugged into the car and it was just on a random, shuffle. And one of the songs came on that I had put on his memorial DVD. And then a second song came on that I put on his memorial DVD on a random shuffle.
Wow.
And I said to him, I said, Dad, are you here? And then the third song, come on. I had five songs I had on, but three of the five played one after the other.
Wow.
Shuffle.
That's amazing.
And, yeah. And another sign from my dad was one of my former employers. We were doing a photo shoot for our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a professional photographer in, and he'd set up the lighting and everything. And he did all of her photos first, and they all came out great, and she stepped out of the picture. I stepped in, and he started taking some of my pictures, and he kept trying to readjust and kept trying to move things around. And he said, I can't get a good picture of you. There's this big, bright light around you, he said, and I don't know where it's coming from.
No way.
Yeah, so I said, Dad, if you're here, can you just step back for a minute? And then he took a few pictures and they came out perfectly. And there was nothing that changed in the scenery.
Yep.
It was just my boss stepped out and I stepped in. So the lighting didn't change and nothing changed.
That's amazing.
He could get a picture of me. He kept saying there was just this big bright light around me.
I've never heard that before. I've heard of other people where a photographer can't focus because it's almost like there's something moving in front of them. And you know how the camera has a hard time focusing if there's movement? I've heard of that, but I've never heard of, you know, there was a light around you. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I was washed out in the pictures because this light was overpowering and it just kept washing me out.
Huh. What did the photographer seem kind of freaked out after you said, Dad, if you know, step back?
He just kind of laughed it off, and I don't know if he actually believed it or not, but I mean, it just seemed too big of a coincidence to not be.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Wow. So have you had experiences like that ever since you're little, like all your life?
I think so. Thinking back, I think I have. I've seen kind of shadows and things in the dark that I always attributed to just childhood overactive imagination,
yep.
but maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, I guess, you know, my dad was probably the most significant because I was a dad's girl.
Yeah.
And it was the hardest loss I had to go through. And it was, he got sick very quickly and we didn't really, you know, have time to say goodbye. So I think that was a big thing. And when my dad got sick, he was in the hospital and he was going into a coma. And they told us at the hospital that they'd given him a drug, but chances are if he went into a coma that he wouldn't come back out based on the condition that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us to talk to him and try and get him to come back. So my sister and I were each on one side of him, and we were talking to him, trying to get him to come back. And he told my mother later, after he came out of the coma, and he wasn't really acting himself for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's like, you know, what's going on? Like, what happened? And my dad never believed in life beyond death, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But he said to mom, he said, I don't know. He said, it was weird. He said, I felt like I was like in a dream. And he said, I saw like a light of some sort. And he said, I was going towards it, but I heard two girls playing and I turned around and I came back.
No way.
Yeah, and mom said, you know, I think you saw the light because you were going into a coma and they told us that we were losing you and your two girls were on either side of your bed and they were calling for you to come back.
Hmm.
So what he heard in his mind was two girls playing, but it was actually us calling him to come back.
Yeah.
But he turned around to come see the two girls playing that he heard behind him.
Wow. Maybe while he was approaching a coma, he was having memories of when you two were playing as little girls.
Very possibly.
And the paternal instinct just came back and said, you know, I have to see my girls.
Yeah. And that's very possible.
Hmm. Has anyone in your family had experiences like that too?
Not that I know of.
Or no one really
talked about my family. I mean, one of my aunts has said that my cousin used to have a tea party with my grandmother after she died.
Oh, wow.
And she was convinced that, you know, my cousin really saw her. And she was quite a bit younger than me. So she would have only been like 4 years old, maybe, or five.
Yeah.
And my aunt said, you know, she came in a room and she'd be talking away. And she's like, who are you talking to? She's like, Nanny, I'm having a tea party with Nanny.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I believe that some of the younger kids in the family might have seen Nanny based on stuff that I've heard, I guess.
Yeah. But,
I was in my early 20s. I was probably one of the older ones that saw her.
Hmm.
And like I said, she just happened to appear at the foot of my bed. But that was really the one and only time that I saw her.
Do you remember if she was just standing there or was she sitting on your bed?
She was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Just standing at the foot of my bed. And it all happened so quick. I realized it was her and then she was gone.
Hmm. Too bad you couldn't have tried to talk to her. That would have been interesting.
It would have. And when my grandfather was dying, we're pretty sure that my grandmother was there at the foot of his bed as well.
Yeah.
Because my mom is probably the one in the family that most looks like my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one day my mom walked into his hospital room when he was there. And he said, oh, you're back.
Huh.
He said, no, I haven't been here yet today. He's like, yeah, you were here earlier. You were standing at the foot of the bed. Mom's like, no, this is my first time here today. So as we were talking about it later, we wondered if maybe Nanny wasn't waiting for him at the foot of the bed, knowing that he was dying.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Would be really interesting if you could talk to the rest of your family and find out if anybody's ever had any other experiences, like when they were little or whatever. But I know some people don't like talking about stuff like that.
No, that is actually a good idea. Something I guess I'd never really thought of too much.
Yeah. Do you think your family would kind of laugh at you or look at you like you had two heads? Or do you think they'd be open to a conversation like that?
Some of them would. I think some of my aunts would. But,
yeah.
But I don't think any of my uncles would.
Yeah.
Being men, I mean, they just don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
My dad didn't either until he was going into a coma, and mom said he acted really funny for like 2 days after he came out of the coma. And, you know, he just kept staring at the calendar, and he wasn't talking and he was just acting really weird. So, yeah. And she asked him what happened and what, you know, what was wrong. You know, that's when he told her.
Hmm. So out of the different places that you've lived in, would you say that there's one location more than the other that had more activity?
Oh yeah, definitely. The house, the three-story house, by where the, right behind an old county jail,
yeah.
You know, where our hangings and stuff had happened. That was definitely an active house, I would say for sure.
It sure sounds like that house had lots of history to it.
I would say, yeah, I would have liked to have gotten more into the history of it just to find out more, you know, just finding out what I did was really interesting, you know, but I definitely suspect there was more there than most people knew. So I'd be kind of curious to see.
Yeah. Did you ever talk to your neighbors to see if anybody had ever had experiences in their area as well or past owners?
I hadn't. It was something I'd never really thought of.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, it seems this day and age, it's almost like people think to ask neighbors now. But even a few years ago, it's more of a mainstream thing now. It's a little more acceptable. You still kind of get looks like you have three heads, but
but
people seem to be a little more willing to talk about strange things now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, because as you know, I started out as a paranormal investigator, and the town that I'm living in now, when I first moved here, I was trying to find out history and stuff like that, because you can just feel that this is a hot spot for activity in this town. And people didn't really talk about it much to me because, you know, I was a new person. And after I'd been here a while and people started finding out a little bit of what I did, then people would start opening up a little bit more. And it's interesting how people will talk about things like that now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's something I never thought of talking about with my neighbors back then. You know, I didn't know if it was just in our house, but the old jail behind our house, actually, it had been bought privately by somebody, and he converted the upstairs of it to a gym.
The jail?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
So I had a membership there because it was really, really cheap, and you had a key, and you could come 24/7 whenever you wanted to go.
Huh.
And the gym area that would have been where, like, all the weights and stuff were, that would have been, I think, probably some sort of a big bunking area or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big room with, that was the weight area and stuff. And that wasn't too bad. But off of that, we went down another hallway, and they were what would have been cells that had no bars on the doors. But they were, like, different sections. Like, there was mats and stuff there for doing floor work, and one of them had the cardio machines and stuff. And the room with the cardio machines, there was another hallway beyond that was locked and barred. And when I was there working out, a lot of times you were there alone and you were back to that door. And I did find myself looking over my shoulder quite a bit, feeling like I was being watched. And I found out later that was the death row of the jail there. And he had actually at one point turned all the equipment around so it was actually facing the door as opposed to back to the door.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people were actually feeling somewhat uneasy about the equipment there. So I wonder if there was more people there that it kind of felt a little bit of unease at that section of the gym.
Is it still a gym now?
I believe the gym equipment is still there. I don't know if it's set up as a gym. I know it's been... someone else has bought it now, and I believe they're turning it into a B&B of some sort where you can get the real jail experience by sleeping in one of the cells at night.
That is odd, but kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah, and considering those of us that know the history and stuff and have maybe had experiences in there, it could be very creepy too. So
I would absolutely love to go to that building and look around.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. No, I didn't. I thought the jail was still open, actually.
No, it closed quite a long time ago. I think it's been closed since probably, I think sometime in the 80s for sure.
No way.
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
When they built the minimum security spot with the medium jail that's just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think they closed the county jail at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they just combined the two in the one location where the medium security jail was being held.
Yeah. It would be really interesting to talk to people who have been at the gym, like you said, to because like you said, the owner moving the equipment to face the door, there must have been people that have said, you know, it's kind of creepy in here. So there must be a reason why he moved the equipment.
Exactly. I just came in one night and it was all turned and facing the other way. And it's like, okay, so now you can kind of at least have it looking straight at it as opposed to looking over your shoulder.
Yeah. And you kind of hope it was the owner that moved it and it wasn't moved on its own.
Yeah, that's the truth. Sure.
It would be funny if you'd be working out and someone's like, yeah, I wonder when they moved this. And then the owner would say, I didn't move this. Who moved this?
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Although I did have a remote control go missing in my house with the three levels that had some activity going on.
Oh, really?
It took forever. It's gone for like months. And we had tore the couch apart. We tore chairs apart. And one day I'm sitting on the couch and it was just very neatly placed between two cushions on the couch.
No.
It's like, that was not there because I tore the couch apart.
Yeah.
Like, tore all the furniture apart looking for the remote. It was gone for 2 months. My husband's like, Lisa, you had to have missed it. And I'm like, no, seriously, it wasn't there. Just very nicely placed between two cushions. No, it wasn't there.
Now, does your husband believe in any of this stuff? Has he ever had experiences?
No, he doesn't believe at all.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah. Have you, because I know you've had dogs. Have you ever had dogs that have reacted, you know, looking at down a hallway or anything like that? Or
I most definitely have. Actually, one of the experiences with my dad, I had a dog that was, he didn't have all the connections properly in his brain. He really wasn't wired properly. And he was very, very anxious. And he had a lot of behavioral problems. And there was one night after Dad died. For a while after Dad died, my dog's behaviors got worse and worse and worse there to a point where one night I sat on the floor with the dog with my legs wrapped around him, just keeping him from hurting himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really bad. And I said to my husband, I said, you know, have you seen him this bad in a while? And he's like, no, I really haven't. And I started wondering if it was maybe my dad coming around. And a while later, my dog started running to, like probably within a few days later, my dog started running to the register that we had cut a hole in the floor for the wood stove in the basement to bring some heat up through.
Mm-hmm.
And he would start running to that register, looking down to the basement and wagging his tail.
Oh, really?
So it made me wonder if my dad was coming in and going like to the basement as not to freak out the dog.
Yeah.
Just kind of be near to see, you know, make sure I was okay type of thing, but, you know, to not freak out the dog.
I take it the dogs knew your dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And yeah, so he'd just go to the register and he'd just wag his tail and look down the hole and keep wagging his tail. And he did that for the longest time.
Hmm. Have you ever had strange smells too, or?
My sister has smelled my dad's aftershave in the house.
Yeah.
I haven't had any, but both my mom and my sister have said that they've walked upstairs and they have smelled dad's aftershave up in the hallway upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Is that house still there?
My parents' house, yeah. My mom still lives in it. She refuses to move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How about the three-story house? Is that one still there too?
It's still there. They have done a major renovation on it, and I guess it's partly tore apart, and they've never really finished getting it together, back together again. So
yeah.
I'm really not sure what the plan is for it. But.
Wow. Sounds like you've lived in some interesting places.
I have, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'd really like to check out that jail and that three-story house that you lived in.
Well, sometime you come around this way, let me know.
I will.
See what we can do.
Yeah. So have you ever had experiences at a workplace or anything, or has it usually been in your homes?
It's usually been in my home.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything at a workplace that I can remember.
Yeah. Hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any other stories that you'd like to tell us and any other experiences?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much all of them that I can remember.
Okay. Well, I guess we're at the end already.
Already?
Yeah.
I know, eh?
Well,
time flies.
I know. Well, thank you so very much for telling us your experiences. I really appreciated you being here.
No problem. Thanks for calling me, and it was fun to share.
It was fun to listen to.
Great.
You take care.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Well, we've made it to the end of another episode. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, take care of each other. And if you'd like to be on the show or have questions or comments, just drop me an email, paranormalheart13@gmail.com.
Paranormal Heart would like to extend a special thank you to PurplePlanet.com for supplying the music for the show. The views and opinions expressed on Paranormal Heart are those of the host and participants.